Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
You sound far away.
Do I?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Huh?
So what about now?
You sound a little bit better. Do I sound far away?
Nope.
No? Can you hear me loud
Nope.
and clear?
Yep.
Okay.
But you
Well,
can't hear me.
I can hear you. You just sound far. Maybe put your phone up like closer to your mouth. How about now? Say something. You were muted for a second. Are you, what are you doing? Did you just mute yourself? Okay, so welcome to Passport Confessions. So this is story time. This is our first stereo and our first podcast for Passport Confessions. So remember that one time when you went out of town and like some real crazy shit happened? We're here to let all of that out, have some fun, and confess a couple things. So tonight's topic is celebrity run-ins. So we're gonna play off of what's in the news right now, which is the situation with T.I. and Tiny. My co-host seems to be muted right now. At the top,
Right
there
now?
you
Can
go.
you hear me now?
I can.
Yeah. What's
You
up?
okay now?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so he hasn't really been paying attention to the news because he's been at work, but I have. So what happened today? Today, T.I. and Tiny are in the news yet again. Allegedly, Tiny's best friend came out and said that T.I. put a gun to her head. And that sparked the conversation where Tiny came out and defended T.I. And so from there, Tiny's best friend Shekinah, who I thought they were best friends, she came out and said the girl Sandra Peterson or Patterson was really doing all of this for attention because she's obsessed with Tiny. Then she drops the bombshell Sandra was fucking both Tiny and Tip, and that she would go and recruit girls for both of them. Which I was like, well, damn, that's pretty tough, right? So now there's this whole thread of different women coming out about T.I. and Tiny and things that happened. And here's a story which ties into the topic tonight for the Passport Confessionals, celebrity run-ins. And I'm gonna read it to you. And it's online if you want to check it out. She says, fun fact, I met Trouble Man almost 16 years ago in Colorado for the All-Star Weekend. We ended up lost backstage at the free concert he gave in Nike Town. VIP and stage were upstairs. The crowd was downstairs. This was my birthday weekend. I was 16. My best friend was 15. We were pressured for sex and to take drugs, even with him and his team knowing we were underage. Why didn't we ever say anything? Because we were young, underage. You were a superstar dropping in on our little town. We weren't supposed to be there, so we internalized it as it was our fault. No, we didn't do drugs, nor did we stay around and get raped. We were smart and got away. But Tiny, you shouldn't speak for a man whose actions have destroyed and harmed so many. Thank you to Glam University, that's the girl, Sandra Peterson, for speaking up for the ones who never had a voice to speak up about this man, and for those who didn't even realize we were victimized. She goes on to say, I've met a few celebrities over the years and have been almost raped by them or their team regularly. I'm glad that we are no longer idolizing these men and calling them out for who they are. Sorry, but I will always stand for what's right, and I stand with my sisters. So, I don't know. That one is a little interesting to me. And the part where she says she's met celebrities over the years and have been almost raped by them and their team regularly. I don't know how to process that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's a little bit interesting. Man,
yeah, that's
she just constantly at the wrong place, wrong time, wrong people. But, you know, celebrities held themselves as a high regard, though. They think that they can do everything and, you know, anything they want to, and people aren't going to say nothing. And, you know, people just going to keep letting them do whatever the hell they want to do and not say nothing. Like she said, she was young and impressionable. Imagine if that had came out 16 years ago. You know, look at my man Bill Cosby. You know, this shit 30, 40 years ago, and now it's out. Now my man in jail. You know, celebrities got a habit of tendency to think they can go on and do whatever they want to do to people. So, you know, I don't know if it's like her being the wrong place, wrong time, or her running up behind people and, you know, thinking they one way and they turn out to be another. Yeah, you know, for that to keep happening to her over and over and over again, I don't know. That's pretty interesting. But for T.I. to even do that, consider that with an underage person, man, is, and I'm hoping that's not true. You know, I'm really, really hoping that's not true, man. That shit is dead. That shit bogus there.
Well, you know, this story has, they said, has been over 20 confessions from different women stating situations where they have been pressured into sex and drugs from T.I. and Tiny, from their encounters. So from my understanding, there's someone that gets the women, brings them to them, and in order for them to stay around, they have to do Molly. One lady even said her nervous system is messed up from all the Molly that she did hanging out with them. They've threatened them when they leave sex. Okay, we are talking about adults and consenting adults, right?
Yeah, that ain't their fault.
Yeah, but when you're around, I think maybe when you're around a celebrity, there is some pressure because you want to be around them. You want the perks. You want the benefits. You want to be liked. Just like anybody else that's around someone that's popular. You know, you want to fit in and you want to get along with them. And when you run into these celebrities, you're going to
Chica, you're gonna pop a Molly, you're gonna pop Molly after Molly after Molly just because you ran into
I'm grown as hell, okay? So no, I don't do Molly what? Now. But no, I ain't about to do it.
It ain't nobody's pressure but somebody else's own. Them wanting to fit in. They own little bullshit. They wanna feel like, you know what I'm saying, they wanna be accepted. Well, check this out. You ain't gotta accept me. If you can't accept me for who I am, you know, then you don't need to be around me. I don't need to be around you. You can take your Molly and shove it up your ass. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but some people want to be around celebrities. And we're talking about T.I. and Tiny. I personally am a fan of T.I. and Tiny. Now, I do believe what you do in the bedroom should be in the bedroom, right? Y'all having all of these threesomes, why does everybody know your business? Why was Chicago able to get on live and tell everybody that?
Like, Chicago's ass was there with him. Chicago's ass was there with him.
She said she ain't never slept with him.
She was there. She know because she was her and Tiny and probably got down before. So, yeah, she know.
She said she didn't. I want to shout out to our three listeners out there. If you want to comment, it's a little microphone at the bottom. You just hold it down and you talk. So we want to share your thoughts about celebrity run-ins. If you have a situation, anything that happened. Okay. So we kicked it off talking about the T.I. and Tiny situation and a girl that was 16 ran into Tip at a concert, and he pressured them into having sex. They didn't do it, but she also said that she's had similar encounters with other celebrities, and they've tried to pressure her and their team into having sex. So we all know this happens, right? Groupies, and it's all become very common. Is it always the situation where you get around these rappers and these celebrities and you're just pressured into having sex? Like, every encounter with a celebrity isn't that bad, and it can't be. I know you said you had a story. You want to share your celebrity run-in story?
Who, me?
Hold on, we have a comment.
Hi, my name is Margaret Bergman. I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I remember my first tour, Beyonce's concert. She was my first celebrity concert I went to.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that concert. I hope you maybe got a chance to meet her or some other celebrity that was there. That's pretty cool. I still haven't been to a Beyoncé concert yet because those
Because
tickets.
my man got a lot of money to afford the tickets.
Right. I was like, yeah, those tickets, I ain't ready to pay for them tickets. So I do have a good celebrity run-in story. A friend of mine on Facebook, she said she was at a Chase Bank one day and she saw a celebrity. She saw him, she noticed him. She kind of gave him like the head nod, but she didn't say anything. So when she went to cash her check, there was an additional $500. So she went back, she was like, ma'am, you know, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. I'm not stealing, but it was an extra $500. She was like, no, that's for you. And she passed her a note. And the note said, thank you for not saying anything, Danny Glover.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty fucking dope. And I had to ask her, I'm like, which one? So does he, you know, now that I know he banks at Chase.
He ain't banking at Chase on 71st and Jeffrey.
He ain't banking at Chase in the hood, but still, now that I know he banks at Chase, you know, I want to know, I asked her which one it was because, uh-oh, hold on, we have a comment.
Hi, my name is Michael Bergman. Funny story, Nick. When I was on Snapchat, I saw a celebrity, and he added me back on Snapchat.
He added you
Okay,
on
so
Snapchat.
yeah, the
Go ahead.
celebrity added him on Snapchat.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, how many
There's a
people can say
celebrity.
how many people can say celebrities and added them on Snapchat? Usually. With these social media groups, they everybody add them, and they have all these followers, and
Well,
they don't follow too many. You know what I mean? They follow only they people, so that's pretty dope.
not to brag, but I mean, I've had Johnny Gill follow me on Twitter. If I didn't follow him.
Yeah, true that. You told me
And
that. You told me that story.
what's his name from The Best Man with the smile? He was in the movie with Angela Bassett. How Stella Got Her Groove Back. He was
Taye
Harper.
Diggs.
Tay Diggs. He followed me. Yes.
His meme was Spencer Pratt from the Hills.
Yeah, you talking about Taye Diggs.
No, he said Spencer from the Hills. I know what you're talking about. Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So they followed me back. Okay, so what's your celebrity run-in story?
I don't know, man. I got a couple of them. I remember my sister and I, we had to be around maybe about 13. It was back in the day. And we were in Dominick's, you know what I'm saying, the grocery store. We walking around and I see this guy with this like colorful leather jacket on or whatnot. Light skinned cat. Baggy overalls, combat boots. Back then, within the Jodeci days, he had the Jodeci boots. And I kept looking at him. I'm like, man, I know him. I'm like, India, no. I'm like, ask my sister. I'm like, India, do you know him? And she's like, man, he looks so familiar, so familiar. This, that, and the other. So then he kept looking at us, looking at him. So, he had a little entourage. We had a couple people. You know what I'm saying? A couple guys around him, they all had on like the same jackets and stuff. And so I'm like, man, I know this cat. I couldn't, you know what I'm saying, think of who it was. And then he turned around. I saw the back of his jacket. The back of his jacket said BF10. So I'm like, BF10, I'm like, where I know that from? But it was Michael Bivins, you know what I'm saying? That's his from New Edition, that's his little group. And my sister was like, man, I know who that is. She's like, that's Oochie Coochie La La La. I'm saying, man, that's MC Brains. And he must have heard us. You know what I mean? So he turned around, he walked over to us, and he's like, yeah, that's me. He's like, I was wondering when y'all was gonna figure it out. Slap fives with us, and that was pretty cool, you know what I mean? So he gave my, you know what I'm saying, slap five with me, gave my sister a hug. So that was pretty cool. Be young and see him, because we used to watch him all the time on the box, the music television show. So Like, now you standing, you know, and it was just ironic because, you know, we was in a grocery store. He walking around the grocery store getting groceries, you know, him and his little crew or whatever. They must have been in town for a concert or something and stopped in to, you know, grab some food or something for the bus or whatever they was on, some chips and stuff.
Well, is he from Chicago, right?
Was he?
Yeah, I believe he's from Chicago. I've seen him. So we're from Chicago, but I've seen him at Dominic's before. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, he's from Chicago.
Then he had to have lived in this area, been around this area, because that's the same as Dominic's that I've seen him in.
So in Chicago, we have a saying: you are either from out west, over east, or up north. And if you are a true South Sider or West Sider or North Sider, you typically stay in your area. You don't really go too much in the other areas. So, yeah, if he was there, that means he lived in the area. Because I'm not going to travel all the way out west to go to a grocery store. I don't know them people out there.
Do they even get grocery stores out west?
Okay, that's going to be another topic. We're not going to start this.
We'll start a fight.
Yes. Okay, I got another story for a celebrity run-in. Okay, she said she was in ATL having brunch at Justin's, and it was just a party, and it was just her party and another party in the whole restaurant. So she walked to the buffet, and a man at the other table was staring at her. As she got closer, she noticed it was Usher. She went back to the table with her mom. So then her mom got up and went over there and just started talking to him. And talking to the celebrity and his fiance at the time.
You gotta love moms.
I know. He called her over, and she said she was all shy and stuff. And he was talking to her, and he was like, "Oh, I kept staring at you because I thought you were Takara, because she looks like Takara. If you remember Takara from America's Next Top Model."
Right.
So that was cool. Hold on.
Yeah, cool.
T. Clint, coolest chick. What's going on? This is the Renaissance. I'm just chiming in. I'm sure you went through a great deal of information. My apologies for the absence. I'm looking at the title, however. Passport Confessions, Celebrity Run-Ins. You know, I've only met one celebrity, I believe. Well, I didn't meet the person, but I seen them, rather. And that's Nas, back in 2010 in Germany. At the airport in Germany, I believe it was. But, that was about it. What are these celebrities that you all met or seen? Interested to know. But thanks a lot, though. Great topic. Peace, Renaissance.
What's up, Renaissance? Thank you for listening.
My man, Renaissance, you calling me cool, man. How cool is that voice?
Right. Very soothing. Should be on like some Night Moves radio, you know, put it on. We are sharing different stories, and we're just talking about different stories that we know of or that they've posted about. So I did some posts on Facebook to get some stories from different people, and I got some really cool, amazing stories. From different people. And here's another one. A Facebook post, she says, "I'm from LA, Venice Beach. So I see a lot of celebrities that didn't faze me much. However, when I ran into Alicia Keys after her show in Korea, I was excited. It was the first time I went up and was like, 'Hey fam, what you doing here?' She says she was mad cool. She says she also met Erykah Badu in Hong Kong." Excuse the car outside. But she was extremely annoyed by her because she met her in 1999 and didn't remember her. Like,
oh, wow. Was she supposed to?
Right. Yeah, she's supposed to remember her. She said her boyfriend met Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodyguard when he went to Hong Kong, which is kind of cute, right? Her boyfriend met Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodyguard.
her boyfriend
met Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodyguard, right?
Okay.
So it was just cool. So I guess the biggest takeaway was that she met Alicia Keys, and Alicia Keys was mad cool. She just walked up to her after the concert, and she said Erykah was really, really cool, which is good to hear, you know. And I think a lot of people forget celebrities are real people too. You know, they may be performing, but they may have just had a bad day. They may have just gotten some bad news. Maybe they tired. You know, imagine when you come home from work and you tired and your kids all up in your face. And you're like, yo, yo, give me a minute. Chill out.
Right. As a celebrity, I just walked out the house.
Yeah. You have to be on 24/7. And sometimes that can be stressful. And then you meet a fan and they want to meet you, but you just not in that happy-go-lucky mood, you know? What do you do?
You know what, though? But that kind of comes with the territory. You know what I mean? That's if that's the lifestyle you want, you have got to be ready to accept those kind of things that happen. And so, I completely, don't get me wrong, completely understand. It's like, oh, come on, man. I just got out of the car. All I want to do is run into this gas station and grab me, you know what I'm saying, an orange juice and a cinnamon roll and a Cinnabon or something like that, you know? Like, man, and get back in the car and go where I need to go. I just did an interview and I left there and I went and did another interview, you know? So, I mean, I get it. I get it, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is, though, fans have got to understand that they're regular people, you know? I remember in Amari Hardwick, he was in the news, I think, like, man, maybe last year or something. And some fan had talked about him, was like how rude he was to her and this, that, and the other. And he came out and he was like, yeah, I know exactly who it was. You know, it was like, you know, cool. I admire my fans and I appreciate what they do for me. And you know, I appreciate them showing the love. He was like, man, but she ran up to me just swinging on my neck and all hyper and want to take pictures and talking. He's like, but I'm standing there with my wife. She didn't even have the decency to say hello, Miss Hardwick, you know what I mean? And he took that personal, as he should have, you know what I mean? And he was like, you know, well, check it out. Look, I'm up out of here, you know, and kind of played it to the left. But, you know, he's like, man, you can't speak to me and my wife and my kids and they all standing there. You know, what do you expect me to do? So people have got to understand that these celebrities are people, are human too, are people too. They have to travel. And, you know, Eminem in his song, he was like, man, I'm thankful for every fan that I get, but I can't take a shit in the bathroom without somebody standing by it. You know what I mean? He's like, damn, let me just feed my daughter, like have some decency to speak, but keep it moving. I'm feeding my daughter right now. You know, and, you know, some fans just got to, you know, take that to heart.
And you mean sometimes you don't know, you know, when you see a celebrity, when to approach them. So I've worked the NBA All-Star a number of years, and I worked with the NBA. So I would always have an all-access pass, and I would get access. So I'm behind the stage. I'm behind the scenes. Everybody's walking past. I'm seeing everybody. And you'll see some basketball players taking pictures and then you want to go up, but then they kind of give you this energy and you're like, well, I don't know, you know, maybe he wants to take a picture with her, but he may not want to take a picture with me. And it's like, maybe he don't want to do no more. So it's like, you know what? I see him, fuck it. I don't need to do it. While others are super cool and, oh, I can definitely tell a story and Tori gonna hate this, but I was working NBA All-Star in Orlando. I forgot what year this was. This had to be about 4 or 5 years ago. And I met Pooch Hall. He was super, super, super cool. And so I met him outside after the game. We were talking for a minute and just chatting with him. And he was super cool. And since he was so cool, I was like, you know what? Would you do me a favor? And would you say hi to my cousins for me? Because one of my cousins, she just lost her boyfriend. And like a little while before that, their dad had passed and they were really, really big fans of the game. And so I thought it may put a smile on their face. So he was like, sure, call him up. So I called him up and he got on the phone and he actually talked to them for maybe about 5 minutes. Like just answer some of their questions, just mad cool. Like he was from around the way, you know. And he just stood out there, just talked to me for a while, you know. And I just loved his energy. Like he wasn't, like, he's this big celebrity. Don't talk to him. You know, other people were coming up talking to him. He was having conversations with some everybody out there. Just all around cool dude. And I have been a huge Pooch Hall fan since then. And he's totally married. He was totally respectful. I didn't see him doing anything inappropriate with any other woman or anything like that. He was just mad cool. And so that's my pooch haul.
So you could have kept that one, Joe.
That's a great story. I mean, I remember.
You
could have
kept that one. Nobody wants to hear about you and pooch haul.
You don't want to hear about me.
No, it's all good. What you don't know, Chica, is that when so a few years back, we used to go to Toronto for Carabana, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite artists, female artists, was there, and nobody else knew the song she was singing. I'm sitting. We went to the concert. She was doing like a concert in the park or whatever, and we were sitting there, and I'm singing all the songs. And
about Layla Hathaway,
she got the neo soul. No, it was the whole neo soul vibe going on, you know. And because my favorite genre of music, so I'm singing all the songs, and my guys that was with me, they like, man, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? So I'm telling who it was. And so after the show, she went to the back. After the show, someone was like, hey, go walk to the stage. You know what I'm saying? Ask security if, you know what I'm saying, you could, you know what I'm saying, talk to her for a second, get an autograph. So I went to the I went up to the stage, and security was like, hey, I was like, yeah. I was like, can you tell Miss Daxter to come out? You know what I mean? So maybe get an autograph or something. And so look, the security guard went to the back and told her. And she came back out front, and she was like, where? He was like, the gentleman right here. She was like, yeah, I can do it. She signed an autograph, and I was talking to her. She was like, so, you know, asked me about, you know, where I heard her music from and this, that, and the other. So we was having a little conversation. She's like, you know what? She's like, come around here. So came around the back, let us in the back. You know, he was in the, like back in the dressing room in the back with her. And man, had a good time, man. She was super cool too. Super cool, man. We talked about music and a bunch of other things. You know, I introduced her to all my guys. And it was just real sweet. So she gave me this big old poster, like with an autograph on it and stuff like that. So it was cool. That was a good experience, man. She was cool. She wasn't like, I mean, for her to be like, hey, won't you come to the back? Like, come around the gate and let him in the back. You know, that was pretty exciting too.
She didn't try to touch on you, touch your private part.
Nah, she didn't.
And who was this?
I would have let her know.
You know what year was? First of all, what year was?
This was a while back.
Mm-hmm. A while back when?
Back when I had braids. You know, that was a long time ago.
You never said the celebrity.
Cause I don't want to say her name.
What? That's what we're talking about. Say her name.
All right, I'll say it in 1 minute.
You already said Jackson. So who? You're not talking about Jenny Jackson.
No, it was Julie Daxter.
Who?
Julie Daxter.
Don't know who that is.
Of course not.
Okay, so let's get to another online story. Here we go. She says, I don't know if he's considered a celeb, but I ran into K-Way in Dallas at a restaurant. I kept looking over my shoulder and then turned back around like, is that him? And I told my friend, I didn't want to be that girl, so I minded my business. He comes over and taps me on the shoulder and asks me if we could take a pic. He was so humble and down to earth. He was so humble and down to earth. K-Way is TT, that guy that's always playing the girl TT with the blue hair and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
He be playing?
I don't know. I know when he's not dressed as TT, he's dressed as a man. Now, his sexual preference, I don't know. But yeah, no, I love me some TT, though.
Don't nobody care about that nowadays. That ain't important. I just thought, like, man, she would know who he was. You know what I'm saying? Like, right away. Yeah.
So she goes on to say, I've also met Vivica Fox, so warm and motherly. We asked her for a handshake, and she said, come on in and hug me. Christian Keys, he complimented my hair, and at the time, that was everything. Brian McKnight, she says, so rude and full of himself. Ty Tribbett, he was so nice and posted a pic. She couldn't find it. She said, D-Ray Davis, kind of rude, but he embeds it in his comedy. I was drunk and told him I was from Jamaica in a terrible accent, and he didn't buy it and roasted my ass.
Yeah, I know, D. He's a little arrogant.
Yeah, he is. And I don't know if anybody remember D-Ray, you know, where... Do you remember he was on Jerry Springer.
Yeah, I've seen that episode.
Yeah, he wrote that love letter to his girlfriend at the time, and she was cheating on him or something like that. This was like short. It came out shortly after he kind of his celebrity peaked, and it was like, hey, he was on Jerry Springer. So,
yeah, I remember that. That's a funny show.
What's a funny show?
Jerry Springer.
Okay, so another onliner was saying how she met Kenan Thompson. He was really cool. She met him in NOLA. He was super, super cool. And it just made me think, you went to school with Kale, right? At CVS.
Yeah, I went to school with Kale, man. Kale's cool, man. Like, the same way he act in Good Burger and all that shit that he play on, he act like that at CVS. He wasn't one of those. They used to he used to leave like on the weekends and stuff and go shoot the shows for Nickelodeon. Then he'd come back and just a down to earth kid. You know what I'm saying? He didn't walk around the school like he was some big shot celebrity. You know, he didn't walk around there like he was, you know, some kind of superstar, man. Shit, he did what we did, you know.
Okay, so I have another online confession. She says, while I was standing in line to board the plane, Courtney Vance was exiting the plane in sort of a rush. Then about 2 minutes later, behind him was the most beautiful, lovely woman, his wife, Angela. She said, I wanted to respect their time and space, but I also said hello, and they stopped and said hello back. They sort of paused like they expected me to ask for an autograph, but gosh darn it, I didn't have any paper, so I didn't say anything more. Now, I will say this. I have met Angela Bassett before in person, and her energy it radiates. Oh my God, it was so warm and welcoming, and she was so sweet. And she is how you see her on TV. That is just how her body is. She built, she's small, but she built, and her butt is humongous.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of her, and I was like, God damn, is that thing real?
Yes, that thing is very real. I think it's very real. I saw her. I was like, damn, Angie. You got all that for real? Like, I was shocked. I guess I shouldn't have been, but she was super nice. I love me some Angela Bassett. I want to jump back to how we kicked this off, back to the T.I. Tiny story. And we was talking about how the run-ins with T.I. and Tiny, some women have endured, and how they felt pressured into having sex with them, and how all of these women are coming out and now they're talking about it. And there is just, it's amazing the stories that are like coming out. People are afraid to come out and say something because they don't want it. They don't want them to seek revenge on them. T.I. and Tiny, which is just absolutely insane to me.
Like what's insane? The fact that they don't want to come out from being scared, or it's insane that what's transpired over the years?
What's transpired and this hold that they're having over people? It's even been suggested that T.I. and Tiny, that they need their own surviving T.I. and Tiny episode. Man, you know how they do surviving R. Kelly. For real. They were saying, man, people in Atlanta, as this continued to unfold, there are gonna be more stories about T.I. and Tiny coming out about how what they've done and how they are, you know, with women and inviting women into their room and their bed and the pressure that they put on them.
I mean, what's the pressure?
I guess, I don't know, making them have sex, holding it against them. I'll read another story that this lady, that she posted. She said, thank you for giving me the strength. I was born in Jamaica, grew up in Brooklyn, East New York in 2006. I was 23. My cousin bought a mansion in Atlanta. I was supposed to move with her, but I decided not to. In 2011, I was 28, decided it's time to move to Atlanta with my cousin. Just so happens that Tiny and T.I. lived a couple houses over. Back then, I was known as blank, working name. I was an escort stripper. In 2013, when I was 30, I met T.I. He invited me to a party with him and his wife. For payment, we sniffed, had a good time, and when me and T.I. seemed to be enjoying each other's company, Tiny got jealous. She hit me, told me I was disrespecting her because T.I. was enjoying me too much. When I defended myself against her, T.I. jumped in, punched me in the face, choked me out. When I threatened to tell because I was young, stupid, I told two. This is what she's saying. When I threatened to tell because I was so young and stupid, I told too much of my business. It was used against me. I was told, if you tell, bitch, we know people. Hold on, let me find my place. We know people and we'll have you deported. At that time, she didn't have any papers. So she returned to her cousin's house, packed her shit, left, and never went to Atlanta again. She said she never told her cousin because she was afraid to tell anybody. She came back to New York. She changed her life. She just started living differently. And she said she pretended it never happened. Who was going to believe her that she had a threesome with T.I. and Tiny? And Tiny was too high, got jealous, and attacked her. And when she defended herself, T.I. Jumped her. And she said her cousin still lives next to them.
Oh, wow. So here's what, knowing what I know and the research I've done about victims of sexual assault, okay? Sexual assault actions don't get reported, and they don't get reported because of things like that. First, what she said was they knew people and they threatened to deport her. That may actually be true. That happens a lot of times with non-American citizens. Okay. So they'll endure this pain, endure the suffering, and won't say nothing with fear of, you know, getting deported back to their countries, okay, or bringing shame to their families or something like that. So that may very well be true. For her to even say something like that is something to raise an eyebrow to.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Another woman said she wanted to be anonymous because she said, you know, she was afraid, you know, again, of what they would do. She was around them for 2 years and she was very traumatized by a lot of what she saw. And she was saying, you know, how it's going to come out about their interactions again with women and how they treat them. And that it was alleged that Tiny is actually the ring leader in all of this. And she's the one that's very aggressive and she's pushing for this to happen. So the image that we see is Tip, he's the aggressor. That's what we assume. And so it seems like from the stories that are coming out, it's actually the opposite. And again, he can only do what she allows him to do. I mean, I'm speaking as the husband and wife, right? If she's allowing him to do these things and she's a part of it, then he's going to continue to do it. And so I don't know. I'm thinking maybe she may be kind of the aggressor. They said she came out and said she's bisexual. So I don't know. I don't know. I would love to. I'm sure more stories are going to come out about T.I. and Tiny and, you know, their run-ins. You know, we knew way back when that they like to have threesomes when the stuff went down with Blac Chyna and Rob told that they had a threesome. I'm like, damn, they get down like that.
Yeah.
And then it started to come out more and more stories about how they like to have threesomes. But I mean, wouldn't they be smart to have everybody sign an NDA? Like, Beyonce don't play. If you even shake her hand, you got to sign an NDA, you know, which is a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, I wonder how many threesomes her and Jay-Z done had.
Okay, we'll never know.
We'll never know, yeah. Right. But you know what, though? I mean, we see that all the time. Some people just smarter than others. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to stuff like that. You know, some people take their private life very, very serious. And some people don't. You know, how many celebrities? So we can put T.I. and Tiny in that celebrity category that like to post drama on social media. Okay, their numerous breakups been in social media. Their crazy lifestyles been in social media. Their arrest and all this other shit has been in social media. And then you got the ones that live those private lives and do whatever they want to, and you never ever hear anything about it. You know how many? And I know this was kind of before social media, but you take a Luther Vandross, okay? You've never, yeah. You've heard things and you kind of thought things, but you never, ever, ever, ever seen him with somebody. You never seen him, somebody slander his name, you know what I'm saying? But you kind of knew what was going on, you know what I mean? And, you know, it may be the same thing with maybe Queen Latifah. We've heard stuff, you know, but do you ever hear any scandal? Okay. And nowadays, these rappers and all these, you know what I'm saying, what's that stuff? The live TV stuff, the new shows, all the shows that's out, the reality shows. Yeah, you know, all these people, man, you know, to get their name out there and to get something going for themselves, you know, they gotta stay relevant. So they, you know what I'm saying, these stories, everything that happened to them gotta be in social media now.
So that was a question that came up, you know, he has this movie coming out and are they doing this for, you know,
I don't think so, not
to this degree.
Right. Right. No, I don't think so because he's been in other movies. No, this is not his first movie. You know, this is not slated to be some kind of super duper blockbuster and this, that, and the other. So no, I don't believe it had anything to do with him coming out with some movie. Shit, he's been in 100 other movies. And it ain't come out before.
Yeah. I wonder why now, though. I don't know. It's interesting.
You know, people get fed up. Once people get cut off, now they ready to talk. You know, once something happens and somebody tell them no, now they ready to talk. Oh, well, you're not going to continue to pay me? Fuck you. Pay me. You know what I mean? And if not, then, you know, I'm going to expose your shit.
Right.
Or they get cut off some kind of way. You know, like you said, they got into a fight or whatnot. You know, so she was like, fuck it. All right. Same thing happened with R. Kelly. You know, the girls got into a fight or something happened and no girl just started spilling beans all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that's what happened.
Social media is a hell of a drug. It makes people do things that they wouldn't do because the opportunity to get their name out there. No matter, because I guess they embrace the whole, what bad publicity is still publicity, so they'll still do dumb things, and it's like, why did you do that? And they wouldn't have a good answer for it. And that's always interesting, is that people nowadays will do anything just to have their 15 minutes of fame.
I agree 110% with
so
that.
So true.
That's why I said, you know, when Shekinah came out and said that Sandra Peterson was sleeping, you know, with T.I. and Tiny, she didn't have to tell the whole world that. She did that on the live.
That's 15 minutes of fame. She got to stay relevant.
Yeah, and Tiny was your friend. I mean, you could have gossiped with some friends in your salon or whatever, but did you have to go on live and do it? I mean, what was the purpose of Sandra Peterson coming out and saying that in the first place if you're not going to take action? You know, if you're not going to do anything. But to put it on, to embarrass them, to, I guess, this whole clout business, or to cancel them, because now we have the cancel culture. What was the purpose of her coming out? And these women are coming out. Some of them are anonymous, and I understand they have a story to tell. So one person come out, now here comes the litter of them. And it's just interesting because, you know, and I agree with what you said, crossover, everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame now. And it's so easy to get it by shaming a celebrity. And a lot of women are doing it these days. I want to say some men too, but I can't think of any stories off the top of my head. But I can think of women and the things that they do, you know, every other day.
Well, here's a male story. You know, what about the little boy who came out about Jada Pinkett?
Oh yeah,
he did the same shit. She cut him off. He getting his feelings. He decided he want to run the social media. He couldn't eat that. You know what I mean? Like he couldn't. Oh, my heart broken. She told me all this stuff, man. I'm sure that woman told you a bunch of stuff, and I'm sure that happens with a lot of these people. You know, these celebrities tell them like, yeah, you can come kick it with me, all this stuff, and then they fall into that life, like you said, and they want to be accepted and this and the other, and now they get there and it's something totally different. Man, suck my dick, eat my wife pussy, if not, get the fuck out. You know what I mean? And now you got a choice to make. Stick around or fuck them both. And then you do it a couple times, now they like, all right, you old news, or they're not answering your phone call no more. So now you pissed off.
You know, that culture, this culture is absolutely insane. Yeah, he didn't have to say anything, but also you get validation. And we talk about this a lot, how a lot of these relationships, they play out on social media, you know. And this is an example with Masika. You don't know who Masika is, but she is from Love & Hip Hop. She literally got engaged. Let's say that Saturday they had an engagement party. On Monday, they posting these love photos. By Wednesday, the engagement is off. And then they throw in subliminal tweets and messages at each other. Then she comes out and makes a post about how a man's supposed to do this and do that. Then he makes a post about how a woman, you know, if I spend $100K on you, you should be able to meet me there. Then they post pictures of them at the Bellagio Hotel. You know, she posting a picture of the waterfall, he posting it. So of course social media catches it and they place them together. Then he's like, oh, y'all thought I was stupid. I went and got my fiance. But why did that play out on social media?
Why do you have to say something to us? We don't know. How about you take your fiance in the room and y'all fucking fix it?
Because you need the validation. If you can tell somebody and you can make them feel guilty or embarrass them, now the whole world knows everything. And so now you go back and forth. And if somebody, I guess, comes at you, you feel the need to protect yourself, right? And you come back at them. Okay, so I have another positive celebrity story. Onliner says she met MC Hammer in Los Angeles in the late 80s at the gas station when he was on fire on the charts. He pulled up in a convertible Rolls Royce with no shirt on, wearing biker shorts and carrying a big bag full of money. They chatted and took pics. He was a very nice guy. Yeah, you can't walk around with money like that on you now, especially not in Chicago. We got a comment.
Hey, y'all. So I'm listening to your convo. It's pretty interesting. I actually got a chance to meet Tiny at Saks Fifth Avenue. She's a sweetheart. And I could really care less what her and T.I. do. They have so many children. They probably have like a really high sex drive or whatever. But you know, that shit doesn't get me an orgasm. So my question for the night is, who actually has gotten big endorsement deals from this kind of foolery? Who has gotten like, you know, a music contract, a record deal, a movie, a reality show? What African-American celebrity can you really name that in 2021, we're going right now, let's talk about 2020 or 2021, is profiting from coming out and saying that they slept with such and such person? Like, I'm curious to find that out from either one of you. Because, yes, people could talk about you for 15 minutes, but, like, how big is that check? So, yeah, that's my question.
ASAP. I love it.
Maybe too.
I hit it. You hit it on the head. I agree. Nobody's getting paid. No, I don't think anybody is getting paid, to be honest. I don't. And they doing it for whatever. And I agree with you. I don't care what T.I. and Tiny do. It ain't paying my bills.
Right.
They can do the hell they want to do.
Which goes back to the question of why we even know about this anyway. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, no, ain't nobody out here making no. The only person I know that's done hit it big and kept it going from any kind of sex tape scandal is Kim fucking Kardashian. You know? And her celebrity went way past Ray J shit, and he the one leaked it. You know what I mean? And even him, he goes back from time to time, every fucking couple years or something like that, and says something about Kim Kardashian and the fucking tape. It's like, bro, leave it alone, man. Like, why are you still in your feelings about that? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
She gone now, man. You helped her out. Now she gone.
Well, she did change it, and she is obvious. She's like the only one that has really profited from
something like anything. That.
Superhead did a little bit. She opened the door for side chicks.
No, she didn't. She got in and got out.
No, she got in, but she fell off because she didn't become that interesting anymore. Because now all these other groupies coming out, and it's like, okay, everybody's sucking dick now. Everybody didn't fuck Jay-Z. Everybody didn't fuck Nas. It ain't that interesting. We already know what everybody did look like because she described it. So she came in and she opened the door for side chicks and groupies to come out and say, oh, yes, well, I was doing this and I was doing that. And it just kind of grew into this culture now where it's very popular for them to do it. Hold on, got another comment.
He always likes to remind people that he hit it first. Like, bro, what does that mean? Why does that matter that you hit it first? You weren't the person that hit it last. So how's that an accomplishment?
Amen.
First of all, he wasn't the person that hit it first either. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? He just, I don't know, man. That's it. Again, in his feelings. No, it's to me, when somebody do that, that means they still want that person, you know?
Yeah, but it links into the fame of the video, because when you think about the video, who do you don't think about him. You think about her.
Think about her.
So, yeah, so she's the only one, but the rest of these people, they don't gain anything. It's, to me, honestly, I think it's really to get that 15 minutes of fame, to bring shame to the celebrity and to try to get some kind of, you know, clout from it. But again, that all it dissipates after a while and you forget who these people are, because it's not going to stop T.I. from making money unless some real serious allegations come out that they can charge him with. He's not going to stop. I love Tiny and I love Tip. You know what I'm saying? They continue to do their show. I'll continue to watch, you know, unless some serious allegations. I mean, let's just keep it funky. You know, R. Kelly. While I don't like what he did, you know, I'm still a fan of his music. He's made timeless and great music.
Take away from that. You can't take
and
away.
I watch the surviving stories, and those stories were horrific. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But at the end of the day, I have to say these were consenting adults, and I don't want to get into the topic a whole lot. You know. Again, I don't think what he did was right. I don't condone it. But with,
no way in hell. Nope.
Right. Outside of the situations with the children, a lot of these were consenting adults that, you know, agreed to be in this polygamous relationship with him. And it's just like any other relationship. If you were a guy that's beating on you, or, you know, he's heavy on drugs. And I'm not trying to compare it. And I'm not trying to say one is worse or less. I'm just saying, you know, in comparison to the stories. Unless there's some serious allegations, you know, I'm still a fan of T.I. and Tiny. And again, we don't know what's going to come out. But like she said, I don't care what they do in the bedroom. I don't care what they do in the living room. I don't care what they do in their house. Yeah. They ain't invited me in. They ain't invited me over. So I don't give a damn what they do. That's their business. Yeah.
That's their business, man. I don't care nothing about that, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope that all the other stuff, the violence part of it, ain't true. You know what I mean? Like, if y'all having threesomes, y'all having threesomes. But you ain't got to punch somebody in the face and hold guns to somebody's head and make them do shit like
that. Yeah, now that's what you ain't gotta do.
Right, that's when it get wrong, you know what I mean?
And we all grown, you know. You ain't got, if you don't do drugs, don't do drugs. But I understand peer pressure. Hold on, we got a comment.
You know, the thing is that sex is not that really, it's not a big deal for most adults, especially, like, you know, I'm trying to think of what's the most scandalous thing, you know. For me, as a kid, it was definitely like Bill Clinton. And the fact that Monica Lewinsky gets to walk around and, like, to this day give lectures is just mind-blowing. Literally. I think it's hilarious. But, yeah, like, thinking about it, it would have to be some really freaky-deaky shit for me to be like, oh, my God. And that's all it would ever really be, right? It's not going to make me, you know what I'm saying? If you wasn't... you would also have to be a celebrity. Like, it wouldn't necessarily translate into dollars and cents. Like, now I'm going to buy into your brand just because you happen to fuck this celebrity that I liked. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's my comment. And I also wanted to add, I think that being married kind of like dissolves the whole scandal, because obviously she knew about it. So.
Yeah, and the story says, like, she's like the ringleader.
She's a part of it, right?
she's the aggressor. Right. She's the one that's like, I want her. You come here. You do this. And if you think about the dynamic of the relationship, you know, she would probably have to be, you know, Tip is Tip. He's the man. So she's going to lead it and say, this is what we're going to do. This is what I want, so that she has some of that control. So now it goes back to the question, you know, when he was cheating, because she kind of made the comment also that Tiny thought she should go beat up Bernice Burgos, you know, because she was her ghetto friend or whatever. And it's like, well, this is what y'all do. you know, and maybe he was a little tired, or maybe she wanted to stop, and then he saw Bernice. Maybe Bernice didn't want to get in, so he thought he'd have something on the side. I don't know the whole situation with the Bernice Burgos thing, but it's, hold on, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, but it's that situation. Yeah, hold on, let's take this call.
Actually, Kim Kardashian for sure. But the thing is, she had her crazy ass mother, who was like the pimp. I want someone to like do a book about her because I think she's a pimp mommy manager. And that whole family is like, you know, freaks of the week. So it's just like a whole family business. So that also added to her being able to become so famous is because her mother is very serious about that business. And she didn't have no problem like pimping out her daughters, her husband, and the whole generations of Kardashians. Like, it is what it is. But yeah, I think people are looking for something else right about now. Like, we talk about it for the moment, but after that, I get bored really easy. I have a short att I have like a TikTok type of attention span when it comes to that shit. I don't know.
And trust me, love, this is gonna dial too. You know what I'm saying? It's
Yeah.
not even gonna be an issue in 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. So she definitely has built that empire off of that. I mean, she took it and she ran with it. And you know, maybe Ray J just, you know, the reason why he still brings Kim up, he a little salty. His mama didn't do that. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about the dollar. And that's what everybody is chasing, is that dollar. You know, if this lady up with T.I. and Tiny was serious, she can go, she can bring up allegations, she can press charges. There are other things to do if you're serious about it. And she's not doing that. She's really just putting all their business out there.
Right,
And
she gets
again,
on
as a
social
note,
media and say he put a gun in my head, but she didn't call the police and say he put a gun in
yeah.
my head.
Who cares? You know
What
what I'm saying?
sense
I'm
does
not
that
saying
make?
about that. I'm just saying,
What
like,
sense does that make?
they doing, we all, everybody knows Hollywood is weird, right? They have all these sex parties and all of these things. You know, who cares? Ain't nobody inviting me, so I don't care. But we know all of this stuff goes on, and it's interesting to hear. It's great tea, don't get me wrong. We all love to hear, like, ooh, did you hear about this? But again, it what's the purpose of it? And like she said, who's benefiting from this? Who's getting a check from this? So you're doing all of this, but you're not getting a check from it. So it just, I don't know. I just think it's silly. Okay, I got another one. Online, a celebrity sighting or run-in. She says, I saw Beyonce at Philadelphia Airport at 5 a.m. She didn't think anyone knew it was her. I really didn't and was sort of planned. So I said, that ain't nobody but B, and kept walking towards the ladies' room. When I got right up to walk past her, she hit me on my shoulder, smiled, shook her finger at me, and semi ran away with the bodyguard towards the gate. So
What'd she do that for?
I guess she didn't want her to make it known it was her. So
Oh,
she was
okay.
out at 5 a.m. So she was probably like, you know, tapped her on the shoulder, like, I mean,
Who would
I
be
have a
doing out at
standard
5 a.m.?
going to the airport. But I told a story earlier, and our listeners now, I don't know if you heard it, but it was from Facebook, and she said she was at a Chase. Long story short, she saw a celebrity. She gave him a head nod. She didn't say nothing. And he gave the teller $500 to give to her for keeping quiet and not mentioning his name or saying that he was there. And this was Danny Glover. She said, this is a true story. I wasn't there, but I'm gonna take her word for it. So I have a standard. If you want me to be quiet and I see you in public, you're gonna have to run me that money. Like she
No.
said, anybody getting paid, run me my money. I don't care. Buy me a muffin. Don't give me
Girl,
a
please,
Starbucks
what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Run through the mall and
gift
say
card.
and say, man, such in the store right now? Come on,
I'm getting
man.
a t-shirt. I'm gonna wear it in the airport. That's going to say celebrity sightings. You want me quiet? Run me my money. That's what it's gonna say.
That's a dope shirt though.
That's what it's gonna say. Run me my money. Oh, I'm
Yeah.
telling everybody, you in here.
Yeah,
You
that's a
ain't
dope
getting out of
shirt.
here.
That's a dope
That's what
shirt.
I'm doing. So, but that was the whole, you know, we was talking about the T.I. and Tiny scandal. And we've been talking about celebrity run-ins and you kind of like your passport confessions, you know, where confession, this isn't betrayal. We're just confessing. We're just talking. And so tonight's topic, celebrity run-ins, situations that have happened when you've run into celebrities, good, bad, ugly, fun, funny, quirky, whatever, just a situation where you've run into a celebrity. Now, I have another one, another story. This is a good one, and this is one of Tori's favorite stories. Tori is a huge Johnny Gill fan, right? So I mentioned earlier that Johnny Gill follows me on Twitter. Woohoo, he follows me. So I know Tori's a big fan of Johnny Gill. So one particular day, not even one particular day, I started, hold on, we got a comment. I'm gonna take this comment, then I'm gonna get back to my story.
Yeah, I live in New York City and I've seen a lot of celebrities, especially like I worked in Soho one time and I remember Brooke Shields ran into the boutique I was working in and she begged us if she could hide in the fitting room because she had her daughter or a little girl with her. And the paparazzi, like, are no fucking joke, y'all. Like, they will drive down the wrong side of the street. Like, they'd be running after you. Like, she was basically hiding in the fitting room until, like, someone could come pick her up, like a bodyguard, and whisk her away. But, yeah, it's crazy. And I worked for Lauryn Hill one summer, her summer camp. And, like, I can't believe how people could be so inconsiderate and, like, they will follow you. They will, like, fucking, like, knock on the door while you're using the restroom. Like, that's one thing that you don't understand because we're just regular people. But, like, when you have to give that up, it feels like you have to give up, like, your humanity because people have no chill.
We touched on this a bit earlier, but I like your comparison where you said it's like you have to give up your humanity in order to have that lifestyle. And it is a huge sacrifice. And that freedom, you do have to give that up. Yeah, and it comes with the job. You know, not to saying
respectful, man. It's all about respect. You know what I mean? If you respect this person and you respect this person and you like this person so much, allow this person to be a person, allow them to be human, allow them to do the things that they need to do. Go to the grocery store, you know what I'm saying? Pump their gas, walk into the boutique or whatever, where this young lady in New York worked at. You know, allow them to do things like that and live their life, you know. But again, it comes with the territory, and celebrities gotta understand that, hey, this is what you're gonna be faced with, so you're gonna have to handle that because we touched on that a little earlier.
Yeah, I believe they understand it, but I think when you get to that level, there's a level of it that even they may not have anticipated. Like, as she was telling the story, I just kind of imagined that being myself with my daughter. That's scary because all you want to do is protect your kid at that moment. And while I've never seen that with the paparazzi, we've seen it on television. In real life, I can't even imagine what that's like. You know, to run and to hide, and you can't just walk down the street. Like, Beyonce can't be normal. She can't just walk down the street. She can't just go to an amusement park. She can't do the normal things that we take for granted that we can do every day and not be hassled with the paparazzi. You know, we hate standing in line when it's a really long line. So imagine people all around you in your face. That has to be a little scary, especially in today's age, because people are scary. You know, they'll walk up and just shoot you. And it has happened with celebrities before because they become so obsessed. You know, they break into your homes. But that's the culture that celebrityism, and I don't know if that's the word, it has created this culture of obsession with these people, which is a little insane. But I want to finish telling my story of a celebrity run-in that we had. So, long story short, I had been videotaping Tori talking about how he loves Johnny Gill, you know, things he would do, yada, yada, yada. And I was sending it to Johnny on Twitter. Johnny Gill actually hit me up and was like, that is amazing. Oh my gosh. He was like, I'm coming to Chicago. I'm going to hit y'all up when I, you know, here's my manager. We're going to hook y'all up. And I was like, and I was texting Johnny every day. I was stalking the hell out of him. Like, can my husband meet you? I want him to meet you. He wants to meet you. He's like one of your biggest fans. So we set it up. We go to the concert. My husband is sitting in the audience. I'm like, I'll be right back. Then I come and get him. I'm like, get your stuff. Come here. He's like, what are we going? What are we doing? He has no clue. So we go to the back And I introduced him to this guy. He's like, I was like, oh, this is my friend, such and such. He shook his hand. He was like, this is the guy. I was like, yeah. He was like, all right, come follow me. So we go to the back. Who's back there? Mr. Johnny Gill himself. The manager walks over. He's like, this is your man right here. Johnny like, this my man? This him?
He like,
this Tory?
Right, he like, this Tory? Oh, man, that it gives me chills just like, thinking about it.
And they talked. And it was, the experience was so dope because Johnny was doing like some meet and greets. So when we got back there, he had basically been done. So he got a chance, Tory got a chance to talk to Johnny one-on-one for maybe about 5-10 minutes. And a few people came in.
20. Damn,
about 15-20 minutes then. So a few people came in, he'd jump out, take a couple pictures, then get right back and talk to Tory, just have a conversation with him, and they just chatting it up. And that was exactly how I wanted it to go. He got a chance to meet one of his very favorite artists, and Johnny was super cool. He smelled so good. Oh my God. But he was so cool. He was so down to earth. And it was a great experience. Yeah, so and it wasn't like, hey, how you doing, bro? Come take a picture with me. You know, thanks for the love. He actually talked to him and had a conversation with him. You know, I don't know what they talked about because
we wasn't even talking about like music and shit. We was talking about like the game and you know what I'm saying, like being in the side, you know what I'm saying, what was the next move and everything. So, you know, that was a good day. That was a good day, man.
Yeah. And when you think about it, you know, you're both men. So, you know, you can't be sitting there talking about, so yeah, tell me about, you know, rub on me and what you thought. You know, you're men. He makes music for women. So you gotta be like, yeah, so what about the Bears, right? But
right. Again. I mean, and that just how the conversation went too, man. It was smooth, man. It was smooth. He wasn't like, you know, he was more you know, he told me, he was like, man, he's like, it's, you know, he's like, I saw your videos that your wife had sent me. He's like, man, that's amazing. He's like, man, I don't have too many male, you know, fans like that. You know, he's like, man, it's mostly women. He's like, man, so that's, I'm like, man, like, this my boy right here. Like, this cool. So, man, yeah, that was what's up. I enjoyed that night, man. I enjoyed talking to Johnny Gill. I enjoyed, you know, still look at the pictures from time to time, you know.
All right, let me take this.
That was a good one.
Like, I also live in New York, and in New York, you just don't run up on people like that. Because it's like, if you run up on somebody like that, like, more often than not, you think you're about to get into a fight. And that's, I guess, why I cherish just being a normal dude in New York. Is like, I can just walk to from my house to the deli and not have to worry. But if you walk up on me a type of way, I'm a be in fight or flight. I'm like, yo, what you doing right now? That's crazy to think about.
A New York state of mind.
Hey, yes, sir. Yeah. Big ups, man. Props to New York in the house.
Right. Hold on. Let's take this.
So that's a really dope story. And I think that's how it should be, you know. But unfortunately, for every one person that would see a celebrity and just, like, keep it moving and mind their business, there's, like, 25 or 30 other people who literally feel like they own this person because they purchased their music or they're their favorite fan. And like you said, it's like a real definite like obsession, definitely lapse in understanding and having empathy for the fact that that person doesn't belong to you. And even thinking about one of my favorite singers, I actually saw him in person, Maxwell, and he did the same similar thing. Like when he saw me and he saw my eyes, like literally, like I was in like such shock. He kind of just like put a hand over, gave me the signal to just chill, and I did. You know what I'm saying? Because like, I got it, and I've always been that way around celebrities. And New York is such a weird place. Like you can run into a lot of people on the low. Like, and even with COVID right now, they've been out and about even more so. So it's really funny.
Oh wow, I love me some Maxwell. That's cool that he's cool like that. Hold on, get another comment.
To think about also like the psychology of it and like how a lot of like children don't survive. Child celebrities have a lot of psychological breakdowns, anxiety, and all that other stuff because it's a very heavy thing. Like if you, especially like if you can pick up on people's vibes or whatever. Like even thinking about like what's it, Justin Bieber, what he's gone through, or Britney Spears, or any of them. Like in this era right now. It's also, I think, like, the selfie era is really, you know, weird, or the Instagram, where people have to, like, they just need that picture, like, they need that validation, and they just need it, like, they don't care, like, I have to take this, you have to take this picture with me, you understand what I'm saying? So I think that also adds to people just being completely irrational and selfish about, you know, clawing onto another celebrity. But it's a very interesting convo. I wanted to ask you guys, damn, my bubble's about to run out. Let me do it later.
Oh, come on. You can come on and ask it now. We got you. I like what she said, how they feel that they own them because they've purchased their music, or, you know, because they're a fan. And they do. They really do. And that's where a lot of the obsession comes from, you know, and it's just crazy, you know, but we look forward to seeing them because they become larger than life. We see them on TV. They've quote unquote made it, you know, they're doing these things. Even some of, like, the little celebrities, you know, one of my vices is Love and Hip Hop. Tori absolutely hates it, but I love it. You know, even if I was to see somebody from Love and Hip Hop, you know, I would want to see them, you know, but I'm not about to break necks and bodies to get over to get an autograph, yeah, anything like that. I would probably just want to see them, you know, see the height, the size, what they really look like in person, you know, something like that. But before we get up out of here, I want to read one more one-line story, and I think it's so fitting for today. Of a celebrity run-in. Now, I don't have on my glasses, so I'm gonna go ahead and read it. It's a little long, but just bear with me. Okay. On our last girls trip, we took the train and we walked to Central Park. I walked slower than my girls, not that I can't walk faster, but that I talk to people and meet people as I walk. So on this trip to my favorite city, New York, I was passing out our little cards for my podcast. It was a big deal to me personally to put my business cards into the hands of people in New York City. My girls were way ahead of me, so I was starting to pick up my pace, but I'm behind these little cute brown ankles and these shoes that reminded me instantly of my granny. She was taking her time carrying a beige sack with a few things from the store. So as I was about to pass her by, I pulled out my card, had it ready in my hand to give her as I passed by her. "Would you take my flyer?" I said. She looked up and smiled and said, "I may. What's it all about?" I said, "It's all about God loving us." She smiled and said, "Oh, I know all about the Lord. Yes, you can give me your paper." We kept walking, chatting about this and that, and then chatting about this and that. And then my girl came running down the street. I didn't know what to think. Me and this cute little old lady were both a little bit startled. They said, "You aren't her, are you? You are Cicely Tyson." My other friend thanked her for all the wonderful things she's done. They both ran ahead as my three other girls were waiting for us. I continued to walk with this cute little old lady. She asked me where we were from. I said, "Detroit." She said, "I lived there when I was married to Miles Davis." Interesting. She even cracked a few jokes, and we shared a chuckle that sunny July in my favorite city at my favorite park. I walked with royalty. That day, I walked to the park with Cicely Tyson. She told me that she knows the Lord. I thought that was fitting to bring this to an end, because we learned today that Cicely Tyson has passed on to be with the Lord. So yes, may she rest in peace. I never met her, but I do wish I could have, a fan of her work, and just overall a great lady, from what I believe. And just to hear this story, I think it came right on time. And this was from online. Hold on. Let's take these two comments.
Another thing about the whole selfie social media era is that it's also self-destroying. Like the celebrities are also sometimes just revel in the fact that they can be larger than life. And that sometimes leads to, like, drastic ends. Like, one that was always on my mind is Pop Smoke. Right? He posted his address. And it was like, and that was one of the things that ultimately led to him dying. And it was like, usually back in the day, most of these dudes weren't posting their moves like that, or it wasn't that big of a risk to post a move, because dudes couldn't just roll up on you. But it's like, it's this social media era is so, like, intoxicating that it just clouds your judgment to certain things that you probably shouldn't be doing.
One thing I agree with you 110%. One thing I absolutely love about Jay-Z and Beyonce is that they control their narrative. I don't know if anyone has really paid attention, but Beyonce hasn't done an interview in a very long time. And we only know personal details about her because she's revealed them. So we don't know where they live. We don't know anything personal about them other than what they tell us. And they control their own narrative. And again, like with Pop Smoke, and he posted it, not realizing that all they needed to do was blow up the photo and get the address. Because I remember seeing it on the Shade Room and I was like, oh, wow, that's so scary. Because you can divulge information and not even be aware that you're doing it. And that's allegedly how they found him. And yeah, that's this whole selfie thing is scary. I don't, you know, the people with the most money, we don't know what they got. It's people, Tori, you're making a whole lot of noise over there. You know, I understand you want to show people things that you have. I just feel like a lot of people post everything. Like we saw all the Birkin bags, you know. The people with the real money, we don't know they got Birkin bags. You know, we don't know the kind of cars they driving.
True.
You know, we don't know. But is this this whole culture of I want everybody to know everything I got, everything I'm doing, it is kind of setting yourself up because, you know, now they know. Let's take this last comment.
Yeah, so my question is, like, hypothetically, imagine if you were, like, a manager of a celebrity, like a rapper or a singer. How do you feel about celebrities going on live? Because I sometimes think it hurts their brand. I feel like y'all are, like, 90s, 2000s-ish, like me. So, like, because in comparison, like, if I had known back in the day that, like, you know, Mary J. Blige and JoJo from Jodeci were, like, beating each other up and all this other shit that was happening behind the scenes or whatever, all the different scandalous stuff that I hear about now, it would have been weird. It would have been so weird. But now it's like, you know, celebrities feel that it's necessary. Like, I'm thinking about Meg Thee Stallion or, like, other people will go on live and pour their heart out and shit. And I just want to, like, tell them, like, yo, like, go get a therapist or something. Or, like, I want to mail them a journal or some shit because I'm like, yo, the Instagram, this is not the place to do it. But I feel like they feel so like this need to like bear themselves in a way that can be very destructive.
I agree. And if I was a manager, I'd be like, nope, don't
that's
do
that
it.
Validation. Here's the thing. It's just like the NBA players, okay? You got NBA football, baseball, whatever. You got these young cats who come from the hood in the inner cities and they get out of high school and they can dunk a ball and shoot a jump shot, okay? Wicked. All right, so they take these young kids, they give them all this money, and, you know, they get on social media and they got to flash it and this and the other. The game start deteriorating. You know, they go to the league for 5, 6 years, 10 years. 2 years later, they all broke, all right? So then you got people like your Kobe Bryants. You got people like your LeBron James. You know, have you really ever heard about LeBron James being in any kind of scandal since he's been out of high school? No. What you've heard was people just hating him, saying, oh, he ain't the greatest and this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. But you've never heard about him being broke. You never heard about him losing his money, tricking it off, this, that, and the other. Because these people don't have anybody in their corner. As a manager, it has to be hard. But as a manager, you have got I understand it. You want to keep your job, so you got to be kind of a yes person sometimes. But you got to stand up to them and be like, nah, you ain't doing that, B. You know what I'm saying? You're going to hurt your brand. You ain't doing that, son. You hurting yourself. You hurting it. You know what I'm saying? You hurting your brand. You hurting you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to trick off all your money and you keep doing this. You know? And maybe in the long run, if they saw that, like, man, they were right. And I would have tricked off all my money had I kept doing that. You know, they would respect you. They would respect the your authority more. You see what I'm saying? Once they can see, like, man, like, that's a bad decision. And they saw that would have actually been a bad decision. You know? So I guess you can look at it two ways. It's got to be hard. But, yeah, these people hurt their brands. The good thing about the people back in the day, 90s, 2000, you know what I'm saying, in 90s and 80s and stuff, they didn't have people in all their business. We finding out about all this stuff now when they coming out with these movies like the New Edition movie and the Salt-N-Pepa movie and, you know what I'm saying, all this other stuff. But before then, we don't know nothing about, I don't know nothing about what happened to Salt in her life. You know what I mean? And now we get to watch it on Lifetime, you know what I mean? Or whatever station that's on. We get to see it now. But, you know, maybe if social media was out back then, it probably would have been the same way. All they shit would have been in the, you know what I'm saying, been in the, out in the open.
I mean, it was rumor mills, but you needed someone to come out and confirm it. And if no one did, it was a rumor and then it died, you know, or just floated around like Mary and JoJo, you know, everybody's okay. See, we've all heard it and we're like, yeah, you know, they used to fight, but that's all we know. You know, we don't have anything to go off of it. Social media keeps it alive because you can always find it and you can go back. But I wanted to add to what you were saying too about the celebrities. You know, we take a deeper look into it. A lot of these celebrities are really suffering and very depressed. So, and depression and the suffering to some can be an addiction, like a drug. So they go to the social media because they want to feed that energy of, you know, feeling bad. Now people, I got people, you know, hanging on to my every word. I have people, you know, want to know what I'm talking about. And just to add to that bit of suffering, so they continue to do that, you know. And again, like she said, they need therapy. But as a manager, I think there's only so much you can do, because at the end of the day, when you're not there, that's when they jump online. That's when they do that stuff, when the manager isn't there. All right, let's take this comment.
Rest in peace to Cicely Tyson. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, the brother that left a comment, I totally agree. The day that I found out that Pop Smoke had been murdered, I was just like, are you serious? And then how he got murdered was just so crazy. And it's just, yeah, it's very dangerous. Like, but they do it, they not Pop Smoke, but just the whole situation. Yeah, it becomes, I guess, like a drug, like another layer to fame and the ego and what it means to be a celebrity. It's mind-boggling. Like, even, yeah, like thinking back, Kim Kardashian, that's how she got robbed. A lot of other celebrities, mm-hmm. whose homes were broken into because they don't know, you shouldn't post like where you live and shit like that, because people can easily find it. And yeah, a whole host of other things have happened because celebrities, like I said, just jumping on Instagram. I said G Herbo is going to jail because of that, or the other guy from New York, because he was on live doing dumb shit. Like,
yeah, yep, Tekashi, all of that stuff, putting all of that stuff out there. I mean, they put it on social media and then you see it. Go ahead.
And like Cross had said, though, he said that, you know, it gets to be like a drug, and then it clouds their judgment, you know. And, you know, you take somebody like Pop Smoke, who, you know, obviously, you know, from the streets, this, that, and the other, you know, he want to flash money. You know, these young guys out here, man, they create these lifestyles for themselves, and based off the lifestyles they lived. And, you know, they always in drama and bullshit, you know, and it clouds their judgment. You know, everybody tough, you know, and everybody want to be tough, and everybody, yeah, I'm here, I ain't going nowhere, and come see me, this, that, and the other. Well, you know, it's real guys out here that's gonna come see you, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, like I said, it's just that drugs, that addiction for people to see you, for people to get validated that, you know, yeah, I got a million fans. Well, now you don't have any.
Yeah. And that's the sad part. You know, he lost his life over it.
Yeah, that's
a fact. The Kardashians, when they initially were shooting, they filmed the outside of their home, so people would live, and they would have people coming up to their home all the time, ringing the doorbell, stopping by to take pictures. Somebody had ordered like pizzas and sent it there, like just doing all kind of crazy stuff. So when they moved and they were filming, they had them film the back of their homes or another home to pretend like it was theirs, because they didn't want people to know where they lived, because they wanted that protection. Again, and understandably, with what happened to Kim, that's scary because they watch you. They know exactly where you are. You list your location. It's easy to find you. You know, especially if you're from that city. If you're from Chicago, if all I got to do is see a little bit of the background, I know exactly where you are. Especially if you're on the South Side. You over East, I know exactly where you are. That's the corner of such and such. I know exactly where they at.
Right. So,
and it's easy for these people to do it. So. But we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. I want to thank everybody that was listening. listening that chimed in, that was conversing with us for the past four confessions. This was our very first one. We kept it kind of neutral and clean. We want to get a little bit dirty and raunchy with some of the passport confessions, because I know y'all got them. I know y'all got some raunchy stories from when you traveled and you went out of town, you did this and you did that. We'll get into that a little bit later, but we kept it kind of clean and had a great conversation tonight. So I want to go ahead, thank everybody again, and for my co-host Mr. T. Clint, I appreciate you for hosting this with me, and this is his very first stereo. So we have fun. We'll see you guys.
Thank you guys for tuning in and joining us.
Yes, we'll see you again next week. Maybe we'll have a new topic to talk about. You know, maybe we'll host another show and do something else, right?
Real soon.
Maybe. You guys have a good night. We'll see you next time. Remember, Passport Confessions is not, it's a confession. It's not a betrayal. Y'all have a good night.